Hi there, welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. This is Casey. I am not joined by Sue. We were going to record an episode about Darkwing Duck, but time just got lost on us. Sue is currently running many races in Disney World, and I don't really have an excuse. But we do have an episode ready for you today. As a sort of prequel to our Darkwing Duck episode, we are re-releasing our Top 5 Favorite Cartoons podcast from a couple of years ago. We were joined by Anne and Jen, and we basically had a lot of nostalgic feelings that day. Very, very many. So, have a listen to this episode. We will see you next time for our Darkwing Duck Anomaly Supplemental. Bye!
I had not listened to some of the Anomaly episodes somehow, and I finally listened to the Doctor Who one, and you guys hate that I like Martha so much. I was on the treadmill, and I was like, damn, they are so bad about it. They're so bad. But it was just really funny, because Casey was all like, yeah, I mean, people can like what they like, but there are right answers and there are wrong answers. And then it was like, damn. And then you were like, no, it's true. Anne has the wrong answer. And I died
laughing. Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hi, and welcome to Anomaly Supplemental. My name is Casey, and while he may be Luke Skywalker to you, Mark Hamill will always be the Joker to me. And I am an anomaly.
I'm Sue, and I have fond memories of a little-known cartoon show called Samurai Pizza Cats. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Anne. Don't let the cave-in get you down, sucker. And I'm an anomaly.
I'm Jen, and I disagree with my husband. I think using Superman's laser eyes to burn the unibrow off of someone's face would be very noble of me. And I am an anomaly.
Today we're going to be talking about our favorite animated series of the genre Persuasion. And we're going to be picking our top five. So, Sue, I think you brought up using top five topics. Why did you choose this? And why did we choose television cartoons?
Well,
I'm giving you the hard ones.
You are giving me the hard ones. I don't think the answers are actually as deep as as we'd like them to be. We talked about doing cartoons, actually, because Jen and Angela were going to do an episode on Futurama, and we wanted to sync up a little bit. And I think I suggested top five because I had actually heard that on other podcasts where where a guest came in and everybody compared their top five of this, that, or the other thing. So it's not too long, but I don't think it's too short, although it can create some difficult decisions when you get down around four and five.
Oh, yeah. I definitely had some issues picking my top five. So what are our respective backgrounds with cartoons? Who was a ravenous fan? Who was just a kid who watched a bunch of cartoons? Let's start with Jen.
Well, I was just a kid who watched cartoons, but I did watch cartoons as an adult, too, so I'm mostly cinema, but we're not talking about that. So my list is basically made up of cartoons I watched as a little kid, and I picked them because they're nostalgic.
And where do you stand on the whole cartoon?
Well, it's interesting. As I was listening to Jen, I was thinking, wow, all of these cartoons on that made my top, the ones that made my absolute top five list, personally, are all ones that I've gotten into in later life, although some of them were originally intended for children. But I was like an avid Sailor Moon fan, like as a young kid. Like I just race home, watch What's the Story, Wishbone, and then Sailor Moon, and then Xena and Hercules. You know what I mean? Like that was the evening, the way it happened. And I loved that. I really enjoyed Ren and Stimpy, which I watched with my dad. And I really enjoyed Animaniacs and stuff like that as a kid. But those aren't my, you know, top five. But, you know, as far as television goes, as a kid, that's the way that that's the way I swung, I suppose. And as an adult, my tastes have changed quite a bit, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on.
Oh yeah, we are. And Sue, I know we're both Diz nerds.
Yes.
So you obviously watched a lot of Disney cartoons just as much as I did.
Yeah, there will clearly be some Disney afternoon stuff on my list.
That's true. Those are good.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, Anne, that you said that you picked stuff that you got into more recently, because most of my list is stuff that is, I guess, at least mostly targeted to kids. But everything on it is stuff that I would still watch and, in all honesty, do still watch when I can.
It's interesting because I'm kind of in between Sue and Anne. Most of my list is made up of shows that I watched when I was a kid. But my childhood was a lot like Anne's, where I would rush home and watch either the Disney Afternoons or any of the WB cartoons like Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs,
yes.
Hysteria was one of them, and also the shows on Cartoon Network. And it got to the point where the Disney cartoons, which were the ones that I loved, they cut the Disney Afternoons and started showing them in the early, early morning. Mm-hmm. So I would wake up at the crack of dawn so that I could watch these Disney cartoons because I love them and they're such a big part of my life. And for most of my existence until maybe high school, I wanted to be a Disney animator or just an animator for anybody. I was just fascinated with that life, but my artistic skills do not match my patience. So I kind of put that on the wayside. So it's going to be interesting to hear the top five, just because not only are we going back towards nostalgia, but as adults, we're discovering more adult cartoons. But I personally had to draw a line with picking my top five, because even though The Simpsons and South Park are awesome and they have spaceships in them, it doesn't mean they're sci-fi.
Are we doing... Wait, I thought we were doing sci-fi fantasy cartoons.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, we're doing... I was just coming up with...
I may have done this assignment incorrectly. But I'll back up all my choices to the death, I say.
I have one that's borderline as well, but I'm prepared to defend it.
I had to be very strict with myself because otherwise it would have been a top 10 list and then a top 20. So I was just describing the boundaries for myself.
It's interesting. I think for me, I had a really hard time. I know a lot of cartoons. I've seen a lot of cartoons. But when I was thinking of like my top five, I'm like, these have to be things that I would watch over and over again or have watched over and over again. And so in that way, you know, like as much as I love Sailor Moon, like the Negaverse didn't make the cut for me this time around.
And our choice of cartoons is also going to speak a lot to our taste, because some of us are probably going to pick very genre-based shows, or they're going to be more focused on story or more focused on character or more focused on comedy. And I watched a lot of cartoons as a kid, but a lot of my favorites have decent animation in them. So Ghostbusters did not make my list for that reason. So who wants to go first with their list?
I guess I can go. Okay. So number five on Anne's list, Futurama, which is a science fiction sitcom created by Matt Groening and developed with him and David X. Cohen for Fox. And it follows the adventure of the late 20th century New York City pizza delivery boy, Philip J. Fry, who awakes after being cryogenically frozen for over 1,000 years and finds employment at an interplanetary delivery company in the retro-futuristic 31st century. And it first aired in 1999, ceased production in 2003, then it was revived, or resuscitated, as I like to say sometimes, for four direct-to-video films, which are awesome, and that happened between 2007 and 2009. And then in 2009, Comedy Central loved those so much that they picked up the show for another 26 episodes, which started airing in 2010, and it will be renewed for a seventh season, and that will start to air this year. My fourth is Family Guy, and I know it's not specifically genre, but I feel like it's so referential that I had to include it, because there's a lot of like musical theater jokes and Star Trek jokes and Star Wars jokes and all of that stuff. So that's a sitcom, of course, by Seth MacFarlane, again, created for Fox. You'll notice a theme here. It centers around the Griffins, a dysfunctional family consisting of parents, Peter and Lois, teenagers, Meg, Chris, baby Stewie, and their anthropomorphic pet dog, Brian, who's my favorite. And they all live in the fictional town of Quahog, Rhode Island. And the show features a lot of far-flung cutaway gags and basically just lampoons culture from around the world. And it often includes outspoken humor, obscure, indulgent cultural references, and shot-for-shot musical parodies, or musical number parodies from musicals, I guess. That was started in 1998 and was canceled after three seasons. Then it was really popular, I guess, on Adult Swim, and the DVD sales were like through the roof. So Fox renewed the show in 2004. It's won 12 Primetime Emmys, 11 Annie Awards, and spawned a spinoff series, The Cleveland Show, which I think is pretty nuts since it got canceled in the first place. Number three, Full Metal Alchemist, our first anime choice breaking upon the scene. Full Metal Alchemist is a Japanese manga series originally started by Hiromo Arakawa. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, but it got turned into an anime-styled show, sort of styled after the European Industrial Revolution. It's set in a universe where alchemy has become the most advanced scientific technique and, known to man, I suppose, and follows the exploits of Edward and Alphonse Elric, who are brothers who want to restore their bodies after a disastrous failed attempt to bring their mother back to life through alchemy. And basically what's happened is, the theory of alchemy is that you have to put in equal amounts in order to materials in order to receive a full product. So when they try to try to resurrect their mother, and of course it's impossible because she's human, and the idea, it's one of the philosophies behind the show, is that there's no equal for human life except another human life, and no one can really get around that. So Edward basically binds his brother Alphonse's soul into this suit of armor, and in doing that, since when they first try to resurrect their mother, Alphonse gets almost killed, and then he's able to at the last minute bind his brother into this suit of armor. But of course, in order to do that, he has to give up part of his leg and his arm to do it. And so that's sort of like the dark past of the show, but it is super amazing. The manga was released between 2001 and 2010. And then the animated show began in 2003, and it even spawned a second series, which is called Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which I guess, as opposed to the original series, which was great, Brotherhood really focuses on staying very true to the manga. I haven't seen all of Brotherhood myself, but hopefully I'll get through it soon. Funimation dubbed the show, which is pretty typical for a lot of animes, for the United States, and the manga has actually become very popular as well. Number two on my list is South Park, and I know we already said that it's not genre, but I don't care. It's amazing. And I'm including it on my list. It's an animated sitcom created by Trey Parker and Matt Stone for Comedy Central. Has a lot of crude language, dark, surreal humor, and, in my opinion, expert cultural political satire. The main characters are Stan Marsh, Kyle Broblovsky, Eric Cartman, and Kenny McCormick. And they live in the fictional town of South Park, Colorado. And this was actually the first weekly program to receive the TV MA rating, and it is, of course, intended for adult audiences, and it's Comedy Central's longest-running program, which is crazy. I guess the first episode was done in 1997, and they're scheduled to keep making them at least till 2016. And then, of course, there's my dad's favorite movie ever, South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. I know it's crazy, but that was released in 1999, and it's amazing. And at number one, which is truly my heart belongs to this series, Avatar: The Last Airbender. And this was done between 2005 and 2008. Three seasons, always planned to be three seasons. It was created and produced by Michael Dante DiMartino and Brian Konietzko. And so Avatar is set in this Asian-influenced fantasy world, which is comprised of four nations: the Earth Kingdom, the Fire Nation, the Northern and Southern Water Tribes, and the Air Nomads. And some members of each nation are able to manipulate or bend, as they call it in the show, the element that influences their homeland. And they do that by way of psychokinetic versions of Chinese martial arts styles. And for every generation, an avatar is born who can control all four elements, converse with creatures from the spirit world, and keep balance and peace between all four nations. And the reincarnation of these avatars cycles through each of the nations, a la first fire, then when that avatar dies, then air, then water, then earth. And that just repeats over and over. And the series follows the exploits of Aang, the young air nomad who's been lost for the past 100 years. And during his absence, the Fire Nation has now taken over the world and wiped out the rest of the air nomads. And Aang, the last airbender, is discovered frozen in an iceberg with his faithful sky bison, Appa, who's adorable and fluffy. He's discovered by Katara, a young untrained waterbender, and her goofy and hilarious brother, Sokka. And together, they embark on a quest to get Aang trained in all four of the elements and restore balance to the world. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, literally, because they found him in an iceberg. Haha. So the show features a combination of American cartoon and anime styles. And even though the intended demographic was 6 to 11-year-olds, I suppose the ratings proved it was so popular with, or have proved that it's been very popular with other age groups. And that was a surprise, I suppose, to them. And that is one of the things that made them feel like it was the perfect time to release The Legend of Korra, which I'm sort of lumping in with Avatar because it's the second series from that world. And that started premiering in April this year, 2012. And it follows the exploits of the next Avatar, a waterbender. And it sort of embraces a more steampunk vibe than the original series, I would say. And then I don't want to give any of it away, really, because it would sort of give away stuff about the first Avatar series in case people want to watch it, but it sort of deals with the world as is after the repercussions of the end of the previous series, and a lot of it has to do with conflicts between benders and non-benders. And that show has been nominated and won the Annie Award, the Genesis Award, Primetime Emmy, and Peabody Award. So it's pretty well decorated, and it's my favorite. So that's my list.
That's a really good list, I have to say.
That was incredibly detailed.
Yeah. Who would like to go next? I'm choosing Jen. Jen, you get to go.
Okay. My list is not as detailed, but because she added shows that are not sci-fi or fantasy, I have honorable mentions.
Okay.
So there. I have four honorable mentions. I will start with them. I have Voltron on my list, which was kind of like Transformers. They made up this giant robot kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was anime or not. It was early anime. It was definitely a different style than what I was used to back in the 80s. And then also I have the Jetsons, because when in the 80s, when I was growing up, they did have a spinoff episode of the Jetsons that was made during that time. And the Jetsons and Transformers. I wasn't a huge fan of the Transformers, but I watched the Transformers and I enjoyed it, so it's on my list. And recently I've discovered Star Trek the Animated Series, which I watch with my little boy who's 2 years old, and we love it. And all of the actors from the original series voice the animated series, and it aired from 1973 to 1974, which I will admit, was the year I was born. And on my honorable mention list, I am going to say it because you dissed it, The Real Ghostbusters. This one aired from 1986 to 1991.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I loved too.
Yes. Love
okay,
that one.
I did not mean to diss it because it was...
Listen, really... Casey, there are right answers and there are wrong answers to this question.
Thank you.
You're right. And my answers are always right. But I just wanted to say that the writing on Ghostbusters was really good, but the animation just always bothered me. I can't tell you why.
I can understand that. I mean, I'm much older than you, so at the time, the animation wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. I cannot watch Voltron right now at all. It annoys the heck out of me. I tried the other day. I saw it on Netflix. I was like, oh, Voltron. Turned it on. I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Because I'm into voice acting. I like to you know, judge voice actors, and they suck, I have to say. So on to number five on my list, the actual list, Ewoks. I don't know if you guys remember Ewoks. Angela doesn't, and she's only like 2 years younger than me.
I've only seen like two episodes, but it warms my heart.
I love it. I loved it. It aired from 1985 to 1986. And I'm one of those Star Wars fans who is not creeped out by little teddy bear warriors. I love the Ewoks. But then I was right at that age where it was cool, you know? It was based on the adventures of Wicket and his friends on the forest moon of Endor during the years of Return of the Jedi. And the recurring villains were a witch, which I didn't get because there were no witches in the movies. But I guess, you know, they thought Obi-Wan was a wizard. So I guess that fits in. I don't know. Also, I don't know if y'all remember this. You may be too young, but there was a series called Here Comes the Littles. And it was released in 1983, and it aired till 1985 on ABC on Saturday mornings. And it was based on a series of novels by John Peterson, published in 1967. And it was about these, like, little elves who lived in the wall. And
Borrowers?
Yes. And, yeah, I loved that series. Let's see. And then number three on my list is Super Friends. And there were a lot of different Super Friend cartoon series, but the one I am referring to aired in 1980. And yeah, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, they were all on it. Let's see. Number two, The Smurfs. Created first as a film strip by Belgian cartoonist Peyo in 1958, and it became a cartoon series in 1981 and aired until August 25th, 1990. And yeah, that was one of my all-time favorite cartoons. Number one, still in production today, is Scooby-Doo. It aired in 1969. I guess the one that I'm referring to in general ended in 1986 as a television series. There were spinoffs like A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, which was from 1988 to 1991. But I watched the original series. And interesting enough, the guy that played Scooby is a very famous, no, not Scooby, Fred. He's a very, very, very famous voice actor. His name is Fred Welker. And Angela and I were talking about him the other day. He played Nibbler, or plays Nibbler, in Futurama. He played Santa's Little Helper in The Simpsons. He played Garfield. He played Drake / Iceman. And The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man. He played Slimer and Ray Stans and The Real Ghostbusters. And get this, he doubled for Leonard Nimoy and Star Trek in search for Spock. And in The Transformers, this guy was busy. He played Megatron, Soundwave, Skywarp, Mixmaster, Laserbeak, Buzzsaw, Rumble, Frenzy, Ravage, Ratbat, Mirage, Trailbreaker, Chrome Dome, and Sludge.
How?
So, and he has a lot more characters to his name, but I'm not going to go into it. But I really loved Scooby-Doo, and I don't care what people think of Velma. She was like my favorite character and still is today. And when I was in college, I had a dragon red Vespa that I named Velma. And people call me Vespa Girl all around town, but I loved that bike, and I named it after my favorite Scooby-Doo character.
I love how you're like, people call me Vespa Girl, like it's the most nostalgic. Like, I would love for people to call me Vespa Girl.
So anyway, and did you know that Shaggy had a name? His name was Norval. I think I would prefer Shaggy to Normal, to Norval any day.
I agree. I love that you love Velma, because I love Velma because she's smart and I kind of look like her.
You do, but you're a much hotter version, I have to say.
Thank you.
I do have an addendum about Super Friends, if I can add it. My favorite character, I am so proud. Well, my favorite character is Superman and Wonder Woman, or characters, I should say, but Superman's the top. And I think it's because of his, and I'm not talking about the modern Superman of the cartoon series that I've watched recently, because I don't think that's Superman at all. Superman is Christopher Reeve and the Superman from Super Friends to me. And my son, by no coaxing of my own, has embraced Superman and loves that character and demands to watch Superman with Christopher Reeve in it. He doesn't want to watch cartoons. He wants to watch the real Superman.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. You gotta watch The Adventures of Lois and Clark. I used to love that.
Oh, I loved it too. In fact, I was in love with Dean Cain.
Me too.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Am I next?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll see probably the theme of silliness through my list, which is not surprising. My number 5 is The Tick, which was aired on Fox Kids starting in 1994. And this was the animated series that was clearly based on the comic strip and kind of introduced the satirical superhero to a new audience. And it was just silly and funny. And it was, the superhero of The Tick and his sidekick, Arthur, who just kind of failed at being superheroes, but somehow succeeded in a ridiculous way every week. And I was so sad when that series canceled, and the live-action show that they made in 2001 did not live up to it. Let's see, number 4 on my list is Gargoyles.
Oh, which, I love that show.
It's a great show, and it was a Disney afternoon show that started in 97, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 94. I was mistaken. And I started watching this show because The Next Generation had just ended and a bunch of the actors were doing the voices for this new cartoon show. And you had Brent Spiner and Marita Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes. And I think one or two others popped in every now and then. But it was just the show blew me away, and the characters were magical creatures, gargoyles, who slept in the form of stone at night, and slept during the day, I'm sorry, as stone statues, and woke up at night and fought crime. And they were kind of frozen magically when they lived in Scotland back in medieval time, and some millionaire came and bought the castle and put it on the top of a New York skyscraper, like you do. And that wakes up the gargoyles and they come back to life and they make friends with a cop and they fight crime at night. And it was so creative and different. And I don't even know how else to describe it. If you haven't seen this show, there was just something special about it. And I feel like it came just at the right time. My number 3, right in the middle of my list, is Futurama, which Anne talked about already. But I have to say that since Futurama came back on Comedy Central, I personally feel like it hasn't been at the same quality that it was in its first 4 seasons. So I think if Futurama had actually stopped after the first 4 seasons, it might be number 1 on my list. But it's not. So that's a little
Did you
weird.
Like the movies that came out, though?
I thought they were okay.
Okay.
I don't know. I felt very weird about it. When shows start up again after a hiatus, I feel like it's not the same. And it could just be a disconnect for me. But my number 2 is the show that I had a hard time convincing myself was genre, but I finally did. It is I guess you could consider it spy fic, but there is certainly some bits, or there are certainly some bits of time travel, and that would be The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
So good!
The time travel, of course, is with Mr. Peabody and his boy Sherman, but of course there's Boris and Natasha and all of the crazy exploits of the gang, and, you know, this originally aired starting in 1959. It was 1959 to 1964, and it just played in syndication on TV, and that's how I saw it growing up. And I remember being in middle school and still watching these cartoons with my brother, who was probably nearing 30 at that point, and we'd both be rolling on the floor laughing at these shows. And they're just fantastic. And so intelligent and punny and just classic stuff. My number one show, and like Anne, I feel like this show is a part of my heart, is Darkwing Duck. And I know you could laugh at me, that's fine. I love this show. It started on the Disney Afternoon for its first season of 65 episodes, and then it did its second and third on ABC. It's not as satirical as The Tick, but it is sort of along the same lines where, you know, somehow, despite their best efforts, the hero manages to save the day. And, you know, just the comedy and the relationships of these characters are fantastic. And I just clung on to this series, and it has become one of my goals in life to meet the Darkwing Duck character at Walt Disney World. Because he exists, but he's hardly ever out. So my life will not be complete until I've met Darkwing Duck.
And dove into his
into his purple caped arms. Pretty much, yeah.
I liked Darkwing Duck too, Sue, and I watched it while in high school. So you have nothing to be ashamed of.
And what I found interesting about Darkwing Duck is that I was also a big fan of DuckTales. So seeing the crossover of Launchpad McQuack onto the show, where he's another side character, that's the best kind of spinoff, where one character is so popular, but they can't really do their own show. Mm-hmm. You just put them on someone else's as another side character, and they do just fine.
Yep. Well, since we're going to keep adding to the list, I forgot Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget. Aaron says, go, go, Gadget. Because when I want him to go, I say, go, go, Gadget. And he goes, go, go, Gadget.
Oh, that's so cute.
And he's never seen it. If it was on Netflix, believe me, I'd be playing it for him.
You know what's fascinating to me? We have not had hardly any overlap.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of knew everyone would mention Futurama, so I purposefully did not add it to my list, but it's one of my favorites too.
I'm going to have a few overlaps, but since everyone is already doing honorable mentions, I might as well do mine too.
Oh, I didn't do mine. I forgot.
Okay. People who want to do honorable mentions, go ahead and go.
All right. My honorable mention is Doug, which was a Nick Jr. show. And the reason that I added Doug to my list was pretty much because of Quail Man.
My honorable mention is Fooly Cooly, which I did not include because it's only 6 episodes long, and it is an anime that is very hard to explain. It's like very surreal, but the animation is awesome. Haruko, the main like female character in it, is a badass with like cat eyes and a guitar that she slams into things, and I don't even know how to begin talking about that show, but it's sort of a coming of age story. But if you're interested in something that I think is like high quality anime, if you're not an anime person, Casey, I think that might be an interesting jumping off point for you.
I will keep that in mind. And my honorable mention, it's sort of a tie, apart from the cartoons I've already mentioned before, like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and South Park. Freakazoid, which almost made my list. I was obsessed with that cartoon as a kid because it's kind of like the satire Darkwing Duck and Tick, but it has ADD. I just recently watched it again because my older sister bought the first season for me on DVD. And I love the second season a lot better. And I still have a lot of energy, but I just remember watching the show again. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. I need to pause. And the other one is a poorly computer animated, but still very good Canadian TV show called Reboot. It's about characters who kind of live in, it's kind of like the Matrix within the computer. And then when someone is playing a game on the outside, the characters get involved in this game. So it's kind of like when the Star Trek characters go on the holodeck, and if you die on the holodeck, you die in real life. That kind of thing. It became kind of darker as the season went on, and it had more of a story arc towards the end. So those are my honorable mentions. So going on to my actual list, first overlap is Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah, because it's the best.
Yeah, I really want to watch The Legend of Korra too, because it kind of gives me an animated Buffy kind of vibe.
It's awesome. You should watch it.
Again, I'm not a big fan of the anime style, which is why it took me so long to finally watch the series. But my husband sat me down and we watched the entire thing, and I ended up loving it. What I love is how the elements just come out of these martial arts styles. Like, water is kind of reminds me of Tai Chi, and It's just a great show with great character development. Number four is another overlap, Futurama. Anne gave a great description of it earlier, but the reason why I love Futurama so much is that, yes, the silly is there, but there are also a lot of heartfelt episodes.
Cartoons should not make you cry.
That's not true. Sorry.
I told Kevin that I was going to watch Jurassic Park, and he looked at me and said, don't do it.
It's terrible. I can't watch that episode.
Yeah. It has one of my favorite time travel stories via the movie, which is Bender's Big Score. In case no one's seen it, I don't want to give anything away, but there's a great time travel element to it. Number three is one that no one has brought up, and that is the Aladdin animated series.
Oh, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm. It aired in 1994 alongside Gargoyles, and I think it was one of the only like revived Golden Age Disney cartoons to actually have its own series and be successful. And it featured a few of the original voice actors from the movie, with the exception of the genie, who was played by Dan Castellaneta, who many, many people might know as Homer Simpson. And it had great fantasy elements to it. It didn't take a lot of stories from the original Arabian Nights, but it created great fantasy characters. Oh, it was fantastic. My second choice, which no one brought up, is Batman the Animated Series, 1992, by Paul Dini. For one thing, the animation is fantastic. I love the animation style. It's probably one of my favorites of everything on my top five. Without getting too much into the comic lore and trying to follow the Tim Burton movies or the comics, it has the soul of Batman without retelling anything. Mm-hmm. It has its own original stories. Plus, Mark Hamill as the Joker. I loved Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, but that was a revamp of the character. Mark Hamill he emulates the Joker so well. And whenever I read any of the comics or graphic novel versions, I hear Mark Hamill's voice and his laughter. Oh, his laughter was amazing. Plus, the power of the Batman cartoon, where Harley Quinn became such a popular character that she was included in the Batman canon.
Yeah.
And number one, as Sue already mentioned, Gargoyles. The reason why Gargoyles is so high on my list is because it was the show that kind of flipped on a light switch. Like, maybe I don't share the same interests as everybody else. Honestly, the show is why I'm bugged by a lot of urban fantasies, because they did the urban fantasy thing so well. And the voice acting was great. The character design was great. And it had Shakespearean characters in it. Oberon and Titania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Macbeth.
And Puck.
Puck was awesome. Played by Brent Spiner.
Therefore, the most awesome. Because I was still in love with him at that point in my life. Yeah. Just so we're aware.
just so we're aware. And people do cosplay as them quite a bit, even today. I mean, it clearly has had a lasting effect.
We also have a top five from Sarah, who was originally supposed to join us, but had something come up today. So she sent that in, and we'll put that
Let's hear it. Hey, ladies. Once again, really bummed I can't join you for the recording, but I just can't wait to listen to it. It's going to be awesome. So I wanted to write in with my top five favorites, starting with number five, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. This is one that I have not run into too many people who have even seen it, so I'd be really impressed if any of you actually knows what the heck it is. Basically, it's set in the 26th century, in which dinosaurs just happen to be roaming the earth again. And it's basically, you got cool cars and you got dinosaurs, and it's like, what else do you really need out of life? I used to watch this one with my brother, and I remember loving it. Number four would be Tailspin, which stars Baloo the bear, basically from Jungle Book, as a 1930s Pacific Ocean pilot. It reminds me a lot of a cartoon version of, I think it's called The Search for the, or Tales from the, of the Golden Monkey, which was a show that starred Stephen Collins as live action. But basically, it's like an animated version of that, and lots of, you know, the usual adventures and hijinks that you would expect when you have a bear pilot. Number three would be CBS Story Break, which actually, I just love that show. I don't know if they've ever actually sold it on DVD. They really should. But basically, it was a show that started in the 80s, in which it was about half an hour. They would do animated versions of children's stories, which I totally loved because I was a huge reader from the time I could read, which was probably like age two or something. Okay, not two, but close to it. And it was just amazing. I just love seeing the stories that I'd read come to life. And I watched it more in the 90s when Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show took over as host. And I think probably the most famous one is when they did the animated adaptation of How to Eat Fried Worms. That's one most people remember from that. Number two would be Gargoyles. Okay, seriously? Take aside the fact that it's totally, completely awesome that there are these gargoyle statues that come to life at night and fight for the cause of good and justice. And then add the fact that there are a whole bunch of awesome voice actors, including many Star Trek elite, which I'm sure that you guys will talk about. But basically, that show was awesome. It rocked my world. I feel like I remember like there being gargoyle SpaghettiOs, and that's all I ever wanted to eat because I love that show so much. Number one has to be Batman. Batman the Animated Series. Oh, I can't even like gush enough about that show. Even to this day, I still watch it, and I still think it's fantastic. Superbly animated, and voice acting is fantastic. Love, love, love Mark Hamill as the Joker. I think he's the quintessential Joker, and I don't think anybody else could ever touch him in that arena. I think he does amazing. Also, we'll definitely say the same thing about Kevin Conroy, that no one else can voice Batman the way he does. Also, have to add that one of the other things I absolutely loved, loved, loved about Batman the Animated Series, besides everything, was the title cards. Those title cards in and of themselves were works of art, and me and my brother would fight over who would get to read what the episode was, and I just remember, you know, those title cards were just gorgeous. And I feel like any time you put that much effort into even just, you know, the title card, you've got a good show there. I had an honorable mention, which is X-Men, because I love that show, and Rogue was awesome on it. I'm so annoyed with what they did with her in the movie. I was so disappointed because she was my favorite character. They turned her into a whiny teenager. But that's probably a topic for another time. But anyway,
that was my honorable mention. And once again, really excited to hear the show.
Okay, well, Angela couldn't make it either, and she didn't come up with the top five list, but she did tell me that one of the ones at the top of the list would be She-Ra, and that has not been mentioned, so I thought I would do that now. So, She-Ra.
It is most excellent.
I never was into it myself. Didn't get the whole barbarian princess thing, but she was He-Man's twin sister, so there you go.
When I was really little, like, I'm talking two or three, I was obsessed with He-Man and She-Ra. To the point where, like, I played with the action figures instead of my baby dolls.
Dude, the action figures were awesome. My friend had, like, She-Ra's whole palace, and I would go to... Like, I didn't even really like her all that much. I would just go to play with the She-Ra stuff, and, ah, man, I hope she's not listening to this.
I don't remember any of the show except being obsessed with it. Like, that's all.
I just like warrior women. They're kick-ass. Awesome.
Well, Wonder Woman is also really high on Angela's list, but she didn't have her own cartoon that I know of. She was on the Super Friends, so I bet that would be on her list too.
Mm-hmm.
So
we also asked the question on the Anomaly Facebook page and got some answers. Stephen gave us a list of 36 shows.
Oh my gosh.
Let's just list the first five that he lists.
Okay, his first five were Futurama. This is 1 through 5. So 1 is Futurama. 2 is Batman the Animated Series. 3 was Cowboy Bebop. 4 is Avatar the Last Airbender. Number 5 is Neon Genesis Evangelion. And then we had from Kalai, she said Sailor Moon. Katie said Aeon Flux. Michelle said she thought Steven had covered it pretty well, but added that she loved Samurai Jack, Dexter's Laboratory, Invader Zim, and Kablam. And then Alexi added Voltron Reboot, and Freakazoid. So some of those we mentioned, some of those are new.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like everyone just loves Futurama. And what I find interesting about that is that that is a more adult cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. I think that The Simpsons changed a lot of the perception of cartoons or animated series when it came on the air in the evening. Cartoons in the evening? What? And that started that whole, you know, Family Guy is on then and Futurama was on then. I mean, I was at an age where I was still kind of young when The Simpsons came on TV as their own series. But for, I guess, another generation, it might have lit a spark that, you know, it's okay for adults to watch animated shows. Animation is just a genre. It doesn't mean that it's kiddish.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess not even a genre, like a medium in some ways. A style, a film style.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, there are kids' cartoons that are great for all ages. I mean, Avatar The Last Airbender has been listed a few times now.
Yeah.
I don't know when you started watching it, Anne, but I watched it at the tender age of 25, which is what I am now.
That's probably when I started watching it. But I think the age bending, I guess I'll call it, of their demographic is what caused them to realize that they could still have more story to tell and it could be different. And that's why Legend of Korra is so interesting to me, because there are times when I swear I am watching that show and I'm thinking, this cannot be a kid's show. Did they just do that? It's really good and really smart. And I remember I was at my family reunion when the season finale came out. The previous year at the family reunion, my little cousin, who's, I think he's probably 6 or 7, we had been watching The Last Airbender on television, you know, in the afternoons while everyone was, you know, just hanging out. When it was the previous year. And so that year I didn't watch the finale until I, you know, got there and said, well, do you want to watch it with me? And it just amazed me that I was sitting here watching the show that my friends and I at our age are completely obsessed with and having all of these really fantastic conversations with my 7-year-old cousin who loves the same show. And it's really strange how it doesn't matter how old you are for that show, pretty much.
So since we're already on the topic and we kind of addressed the question, are cartoons just for kids? And they're obviously not. What about the question, do cartoons need to pander to kids? And Jen, I'd love to hear your feedback on that because you are a parent. And I'm very interested in what you would be okay with Aaron watching as he gets older.
I think it's a phone commercial or something where this mom, like the narrator goes, so-and-so wants to protect her son from everything. And then there's this mom who jumps in the middle of a dodgeball court and she goes, no, don't touch him. And she's like blocking the dodgeball. I got this, son. David says that's me. So I'm a little overprotective and probably am not the best person to answer this question, especially since my kid's only two right now. So right now, about the most adult thing I let him watch are snippets of Superman, which I fast forward through so he doesn't see the scary parts, just sees Superman flying and, you know, tearing things down and stuff. But also Star Trek, the animated series, I've let him watch that a few times with me, and because the special effects is really, really, really horrible. He watches that with no problem. I don't know. Some of the animation today on Saturday mornings really sucks, in my professional opinion. I like a lot of the cartoons that are throwbacks, like, what's his name? Richard Scarry.
Richard Scarry, yeah.
Yeah, they have a television series based on his books. Aaron really likes that. It's a bunch of little animals that solve mysteries, and they drive cars shaped like apples and pickles and... I'm sure you've seen it. You've probably read the books as a kid. So he likes that a lot, and Curious George and things like that. But nothing right now, like I said, I'm pretty protective. So he's not allowed to watch anything scarier than Star Trek's animated series. Mm-hmm. So, and well, I should say, you were asking as he gets older too, right?
Yes.
I'm going to try not to be an overprotective mom, but I really hate those cartoons where the women are dressed like total sluts.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a children's cartoon.
Conversely, I have a problem with, you know, the same thing with, you know, boys being shown just, you know, topless men, like, you must be a man and this is the only way to be a hero. And that's one of the reasons that I like Avatar, is there are all sorts of different types represented. And the main character, Aang, is this, you know, kid, and he's, you know, he likes to have fun. He's an incorrigible prankster, as they say in one of the episodes. And so instead, and he's still a hero. You know what I mean? But he doesn't have to have like bulging muscles and pectorals to be a hero. You know, yeah,
you know, that's something that you just struck a chord with me on. I, in an attempt to find something that was Superman that my son can watch that was animated, thinking that would be okay, I bought him a modern Superman cartoon. It was like a Superman Batman cartoon. I can't remember the title of it. And the guy was muscled out beyond muscle. I mean, like steroids man. steroids man. And what's that about? It's just kind of absurd.
It's weird.
And you know, as much as we harp on the way women are dressed, you know, the thing that boys are subjected to as far as, you know, the way male characters are created or, you know, portrayed is is also kind of off-putting to a parent.
It's just as damaging.
One of my favorite shows is Gargoyles. And while the main character, Goliath, is a very buff character, you also have the character Broadway, who is overweight. You have Brooklyn, who's very lanky. You have Lexington, who's the geek. And you have the character Hudson, who's played by Ed Asner and is awesome. And the main female character is Native American, African American woman who wears a black t-shirt, jeans, and a red jacket, and that's what she wears.
Yeah, you know, Scooby-Doo is like that too. You know, they have Daphne, who is obviously the hot chick, but Velma is the geeky girl, and I think there's a good mix because you have Shaggy too, who's kind of lanky and dorky and dumb, but Velma, I love the fact that she's the one that solves the mysteries. You know what I mean? She's the smart one that does all the work as far as mentally. figuring out who's the person responsible for faking everyone out, you know?
And, you know, there's all of these, like, group crime-fighting shows with Gargoyles and Scooby-Doo and, I mean, throw in Teenage Ninja Turtles or anything else you can think of. There's always a token geek in the group.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah,
probably
never,
harkens back to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, but they're never, like, ostracized. They're the ones that are clearly the smartest of the group.
Yeah.
And do most of the work to figure out the mystery or solve the crime. And, you know, they're invaluable. And I think if you do have a geeky kid who is watching that, that is something that's a bit of a confidence booster.
Yeah. So what cartoon shows do you guys find hard to go back and watch? And you brought up Sailor Moon.
I'm amused by it. I'm more amused by it than I hate it. Because I don't hate it. I'm just frustrated by how I was taken in by it as a child. I, like, didn't see anything wrong
with
it. Like,
well, that's what I mean. I don't mean, oh, this is a terrible TV
show. You mean, like,
now.
Something that when you were younger, like, was amazing, and then now you're older and it's not?
Right.
Oh. David the Gnome is sometimes like that. I mean, I do love it, but, like, they don't really get anything done in that show. Maya the Bee, also not great these days. What else? What you got?
I remember cartoons mostly from around the time of middle school on, which is when I was watching the Disney Afternoon. I was probably older than their target demographic. But I have this still now. I have this idea in my head of Saturday morning cartoons. And if I'm awake before, I don't know, noon on a Saturday, I want to turn on my television and watch Saturday morning cartoons. And it seems like now, I don't know if you guys have tried this or feel the same way, that everything is really young. And, like, the cartoons that I remember, they appealed to me when I was younger, but they also appealed to my brother, who was 13 years older than I was,
yeah.
And, like, my parents, who occasionally would watch the shows with us in the morning. And I feel like that's just not how it is anymore, that you've got the cartoons that are on are pandering to young kids and not treating them like they're smart.
Right. I watch cartoons to this day. I wish I could own all of the ones that I love on DVD. But, you know, I did not like SpongeBob SquarePants or any of the cartoons after that. And the Disney takeover of Doug was not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Rugrats used to be good, but I don't really like the, like, adultified version now.
It just seems like there's nothing that's intelligent for older kids to watch that's animated.
Yeah.
And,
what,
like,
happened to Hey Arnold? That show was great.
Like, I mourn for afternoon cartoons for kids when they get home from school, because do they exist anymore? I mean, I'm not often home in the afternoon, but when I am, I feel like it's all Judge Judy and this one stole and wrecked my car and doesn't want to pay for it and whatever. Like, there's not any kind of kid entertainment on TV. Am I wrong?
It's on PBS.
I mean, it's on PBS. I mean, you could argue that it went the other way. I mean, when I was of the age for cartoons, I remember there being all sorts of hubbub around the fact that, like, Ren and Stimpy was inappropriate. Like, with, like, don't whiz on the electric fence. But I mean, that show was pretty over the top in a lot of ways. I mean, as far as, like, the fecal humor goes and just, like, the weird bizarreness of it. I don't know. I think I don't watch enough television to really respond to your question properly, Sue, because I don't have TV at my house.
And I don't have cable. We just have Netflix, and occasionally Kevin watches something on Hulu, and I don't.
That's us, too.
But I want to mention that when I was a kid, I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons at all, and I had friends who were allowed to watch it, and I think it's also because my parents were trying to protect me from the primetime craziness of The Simpsons. And then I think when I watched it for the first time after 15 years of not being allowed to watch it, I saw an episode and I thought, this isn't as bad as I thought it was.
By the way, I have some more honorable mentions. I have to get in there because at the Geek Girl podcast, we have to mention the fact that Pac-Man and Donkey Kong were cartoons.
So was Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
Beetlejuice, Alf, Galaxy High School, which I used to watch when I was little. I just couldn't remember the name of the darn show. Otherwise, it would be on my list. Mighty Mouse and Plastic Man. And the Snorks. Do y'all remember the Snorks?
I loved the Snorks.
I remember the Snorks.
That is one of the ones I cannot watch right now. You were asking earlier if it's some, you know, what cartoon can you have you tried to go back and watch and you just can't. Mm-hmm. I cannot do Snorks. I tried. And Voltron. Horrible. Yeah. Cannot do it.
Like, I did the waking up early in the mornings on weekdays in middle school. I was insane. The cartoon I'm afraid to go back to that I did this for was Disney's Hercules. And the character design was great, and they did very interesting things with the Greek myths, but I'm afraid to go back to it and see how silly it is.
Right.
I think my other honorable mentions would be Dexter's Lab, of course, Powerpuff Girls, which, you know, some people take it or leave it, but it was during that height of girl power, and other cartoon series like Batman Beyond, which took the Batman franchise, put it in the future with Old Man Bruce having someone else take up the cape and cowl and truly blending superhero and sci-fi. There were actually sci-fi elements, and I really like the idea of the Jokers being a gang of people rather than just one entity. And, of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was great. I'm afraid to go back and watch it, but it was great.
When you were talking about what cartoons I would allow Aaron to watch today, he basically watches only public television cartoons and television shows because I know nothing that's on there is going to rot his brain. Curious George, things like that. Elmo, anyway, Elmo's not a cartoon. But they do have fairies on Sesame Street that's animated.
Muppet Babies, when he's a little bit older.
Oh, the Muppet Babies. I love the Muppet Babies.
The Muppet Babies would have made my list, except I can't really make them genre.
No, yes, they are genre because they did a Star Wars episode.
One episode does not make something
that
genre.
That makes them genre.
It's enough. It works for Family Guy.
Okay, was that the Muppet Babies or the Muppets? Because the Muppets definitely had a Star Wars episode.
The Muppet Show had a guest with the Star Wars characters, but the Muppet Babies also did a Star Wars episode. Don't test the Muppet knowledge. I think part of the reason why I feel frustrated with what I see of like Saturday morning cartoons now is because I was raised on a lot of Henson. And I mean, Muppet Babies and Fraggle Rock. And even I probably watched The Muppet Show younger than I should have. But I
Me
mean,
too.
I'm awesome. So that's okay.
So am I. I'm awesome too.
But like... Jim Henson's philosophy in, even with Sesame Street, in like creating television for programming was realizing that kids are a lot smarter than adults give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And that you need to talk to them like people and not like really stupid adults.
There's an episode of Gargoyles that is about gun safety. And what happens is that one of the characters is playing with the leading character, the detective named Elisa. He's playing with her gun and pretending to be a hero, and he accidentally sets it off. And he turns in, he sees her on the floor. That was something that taught me, okay, guns are bad. Especially in the first edit of the show, you actually saw the pool of blood around her.
And I remember that.
It automatically clicked in my mind that, you know, guns can be dangerous if they're not used correctly or if you're just playing with them.
They're not toys.
Exactly. And Disney went back and edited out the blood, and it was just Elisa on the floor. And to me, you know, it was the shock value of seeing that image that really, as a child, it made me go, okay, this is a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, you know, there was one show that Sarah mentioned that she sent us that she was right. I'd never heard of Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
I've never heard of that. Now I'm interested.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch it now because it sounds amazing in a ridiculous kind of way.
Did Just like when you brought up Samurai Pizza Cats last time, I was like, what is that? I was just so excited. And then after watching just the theme song, I haven't watched it yet, but now I'm just like, I have to watch at least one episode.
Yeah, you do.
Because this is just crazy.
Clearly, Samurai Pizza Cats should not make my list of top five. But I do. It was one of those shows that I remember coming across and being like, what is this? And of course, I then had to watch it all the time. You know how that goes.
I also love this top five list because you kind of see the evolution of animation styles and storytelling in animation. I think a lot of TV cartoons were animated in Japan or Korea, but then they became more westernized, and there are animation studios based in California and in various places across the United States, and they began to have a more western look around the 80s and 90s especially, and around the 2000 decade, the manga style kind of invaded the westernized style, and we're also starting to see more computer animated cartoons. So it just seems like there are more options with animation styles from computer animated to anime western styles to mm-hmm. traditional animation.
At the core, cartoons are art. And mm-hmm. so, in art, has many different mediums and different artists express themselves differently. And on top of that, I mean, I think cartoons have different personalities, obviously, and some animation styles lend themselves better to those personalities, if that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. I can't imagine a Disney cartoon done as anime. I mean, to me, they'll always be classic and, you know, the way the movement really, Disney to me is all about the way the characters move in classic Disney cartoons and mm-hmm. The studies that they would do of live actors when they ran across the stage and stuff. And that's completely different. It doesn't mean it's better. It just means it's a different, you know, different form of art.
It's very true. I mean, now that you're saying that, I'm really thinking through, I mean, specifically all of the Disney princesses and heroes, you know, there are little ticks to how they move that, you know, indicate their personalities. But all of the princesses have this very smooth, graceful way about them. And all of the men sort of like lead with their hips and their shoulders. You know, it's interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely the Disney style of animation, and there's the Warner Brothers style, and there's the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, mm-hmm. and even like the Matt Groening set of cartoons. You just kind mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. For me, I mean, I never studied art or animation or design, but it's something I can't put my finger on specifically, but I can look at it and say, oh, this is this style, this is this type of cartoon, or even sometimes within a style, this is this type of character.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And I can do that with animators, too. One of my heroes, and he continues to be my hero to this day, is Glenn Keane, who used to be an animator for Walt Disney Studios. And he just resigned this year. And, oh my gosh, I cried when I read his resignation letter. But he animated The Beast and Beauty and the Beast. He animated Aladdin and Ariel and Tarzan and Disney's Tarzan and Pocahontas and... With Eric Goldstein, I believe he did The Genie and I believe Phil in Disney's Hercules. And you can, these animators adopted the Disney style, but you can see their own styles and personality coming out in their characters. And I just respect those artists so much, as well as the animators and, you know, storyboard team and design team for TV shows, especially Futurama, because a lot of kids when they grow up say, I'm going to be a Disney animator, and then they go through the whole learning phase, and then they find styles of their own, and then they go to shows like Futurama, or, you know, as much as we diss it, SpongeBob SquarePants, that's why I love this medium so much. I think I love it more than live action.
The thing I've been learning a lot about more is some of the new stuff that the Henson Company is doing in their digital puppetry studio. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about this? They create the three-dimensional character and it's computer animated television, but then they're able to digitally capture puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're spending less time on the actual animation in creating an animated show because they've written everything into the computer program, and it's allowing them to do things more quickly, but also allow spontaneity when they're creating these characters in these episodes of these kids shows. And mm-hmm. I think the show that's taken off the most that they've done with this is Sid the Science Kid, which I've only seen a little bit of, but it's what I've seen is great, and the animation that comes out of it looks absolutely fantastic.
It is. The voice acting gets on my nerves a little bit, but yeah. It's a good cartoon, and Aaron watches that one.
And that's what also makes a great cartoon, is the voice acting. I love bringing up this podcast, but Talking Toons with Rob Paulsen. Rob Paulsen is a pretty renowned voice actor. You might know him as either Yakko from Animaniacs or Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. He's an Emmy Award.
Two more honorable mentions, by the way.
Yes, Pinky and the Brain all the way.
Yes. He has a great podcast where he interviews other voice actors. He interviews John DiMaggio, who plays Bender on Futurama. And that's one of those podcasts I definitely recommend to everybody. And I think whenever you make a donation to his podcast, it goes to charity called Smile Time, I think, or a portion of it does. He played Raphael in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he's going to play Donatello in this upcoming version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Donatello is my favorite. Surprise, the geek character is my favorite.
How come Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles didn't make the list?
It was my number 6. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Okay.
Well, I feel like we've covered such a wide array of cartoons. I mean, even past, you know, the top fives for each of us was a great way to kick it off. But I mean, I'm just so surprised that there wasn't more overlap. I mean, I'm delightfully surprised. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I love that our answers, while there was a little bit of overlap, our answers were so different. And it also speaks to our experience with cartoons as well as our personalities and what we really like in television shows, too.
Yeah.
So that concludes our discussion of our favorite TV cartoons of the sci-fi and fantasy genre. Next time on Anomaly Supplemental, Sue and I will be covering Shakespeare and sci-fi and how the two intertwine.
I don't know how we get ourselves into these heavy topics, Casey.
I don't know. I think it's because it's my fault and I suggest them. We can't think of anything else.
But I just want to throw out there for anyone who is listening, who is headed to Dragon Con this year, I will be there and I will also be on panels for the first time. So I know, right? It's like I'm fancy or whatever. So I have 2 panels confirmed right now. I might be on a third, but I will, once I know my final Dragon Con schedule, I'll put it up on the Anomaly blog. And I mean, if you're there, if you're down in Atlanta on Labor Day weekend, come find me. I'll be the one in the Jane hat. And that's a joke, because everyone wears a Jane hat.
And before we go, I want to thank our co-host Anne for returning to us, and also Jen for joining us, too. I loved your list. Thank you so much for contributing to the conversation. Do it more.
Okay.
All right. This is Casey.
This is Sue.
This is Anne.
And this is Jen.
And you have been listening to Anomaly Supplemental.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental News, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y Podcast. That's all one word. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. To meet other anomalies, please join the Anomaly forums. Click on the forum icon at anomalypodcast.com. The theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at marioncall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's MarianCall. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Oh, say that three times fast. And I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that fat and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, because I don't require approval.
Is everyone ready before I start anything?
Okay, so it's going Casey, Sue, me, Jen, right?
Okay. And is anyone recording?
Because yes. That's a great question.
What kind of terrible power is heart?
I know, it's horrible.
It's the best. He had the monkey, you guys.
Superman is my favorite superhero.
When there's trouble, you call DW.
What I thought. For some strange reason, Jonathan Frakes in TNG just does not register to me visually. But then when I see Xanatos and I hear his voice, I'm just like, oh, okay.
It's log.
It's thick. It's heavy. It's wood. It's log.
It's
better than that. It's good.
Also, we need to talk about robots. So
I love robots.
I love robots. You guys, I wish I liked TNG more. I wish I did.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
I feel like I failed you all.
You did, but it's okay.
Shut up.
And you have been listening to Anomaly Supplements.
I ruined it. Sorry. I felt like we had like the Wonder Twin powers activated, and we were all going to.
I love you guys.
Will somebody please chew that bite?
Pepperize pizza cats.
Oh yeah!
Who do you call when you want some pepperoni?
Pepperize pizza cats.
Right on!
They're stepping out crime, and you know that ain't baloney. They're Speedy Cerviche, he's the leader of the bunch.
That's right.
A heck of a fighter, makes a heck of a lunch.
Okay.
And little Polyester, who's never afraid of going into battle with the bad guys in vain. Here's Guido Anchovy, a wild romantic rover. His cat gets down with a love hangover. They're so bad, they've got more fur than any turtle ever had.
Stronger than old cheese.
Stronger than dirt.
Who's lower than low? It's a rotten shame. He lives in little Tokyo. We've got a nasty bad bird and some nasty ninja crows. As soon as someone finds us, we might begin the show. Sit right back and gut your feet and turn the sound up high. And if you want the full effect,